You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, originating in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're a part of our congregation today, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting that the Lord will make our broadcast a real blessing to you. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with this precious people today, and we're trusting that wherever our broadcast service is reaching, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and will make it a blessing to our congregation. We are thankful for your love, for we know that you love everyone. And we know that Jesus died for everyone. So bless this broadcast and bless our congregation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject for today's broadcast, the difference in religion and true Christianity. Our text of scripture is St. John chapter 14 and verse 6, the words of the Lord Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. What is religion? There are more than 7 billion people living in the world today, most of whom are associated with one or another of the world's major religions. The term religion has many definitions. None is agreed upon by everyone, but certain common aspects and implications of religion can be observed. We define religion as that aspect of one's experience in which he attempts to live harmoniously with the power or powers he believes are controlling the world. And that's a quote from the handbook of today's religion. As far as we can determine, religion has existed in every society from the most primitive to the most cultural advanced. Briefly looking at some religions as drawn from the handbook of denominations, which I have just mentioned. First of all, Jehovah's Witnesses, founded by Charles Taze Russell. Their theology denies every cardinal belief of historic Christianity, including the Trinity, the divinity of Jesus Christ, his bodily resurrection, salvation by grace through faith, and eternal punishment of the wicked. They believe that Jesus was Michael in his pre-existent state, having a brother named Lucifer, who rebelled against God. They believe the earth will be purified, and we shall live here forever. The wicked will be burned up. Pastor Russell made this statement, "Be it known that no other system of theology even claims or has ever attempted to harmonize in itself every statement of the Bible. Yet nothing short of this can we claim. That's studies in the scriptures. Yet they have come out with their own Bible, and they reject what we understand to be the Bible." Number two, Mormonism. This denomination was officially organized with 6 members on April the 6th, 1830, by Joseph Smith. The Mormons claim they are the restoration of the true church established by Jesus Christ, and that they are the only true church. They believe the Bible to be the Word of God insofar as it is translated correctly. But they believe that the present Bible has been corrupted. And so, they have their own Bible. Who knows that even one verse of the Bible has escaped pollution? They believe the Book of Mormons to be inspired and the Word of God. The Mormons claim to believe in the Trinity, but in reality believe in many gods and teach that God Himself was once a man. They believe Mormon males have the possibility of obtaining godhood. They believe that man is a pre-existent soul who takes his body at birth. They also believe in baptizing for the dead. They believe Lucifer is the spirit brother of Jesus, that is, the second-born creature of God after Jesus. Now, number three, the Unification Church, the Moonies, in other words. The founder, Sun M. Moon, claims that at age 16, Jesus Christ appeared to him in vision, admonishing him to carry out the task that Christ had failed to complete. Jesus supposedly told Moon that he was the only one who could do this. The teachings of Moon take precedence over the Bible. The New Testament words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit will lose their light for the members of the church. The divine principles, that is, the writings of Moon, is the ultimate authoritative work superseding even the Bible. When Jesus Christ came to earth, he was supposed to redeem mankind, both physically and spiritually, but he failed in his mission, so the Moonies say, according to the Book of Handbook of Today Religions. Sun Moon has made it clear that he believes himself to be the Messiah for this age, to finish the work Christ failed to accomplish. Now, the Worldwide Church of God, founded by Herbert W. Armstrong in January 1934. He was another who thought God called him to restore the true gospel, which he said had not been preached in the world since A.D. 69. Like the Mormons, Armstrong believed that man could become God. You are setting out on a training to become creator, to become God. And that's from the booklet, Why Were You Born? U.S. and Great Britain are two of the lost tribes of Israel, the two sons of Joseph, Manasseh, and Ephraim. And they teach that you are not, or he taught, that you were not born again until you are resurrected and you have your body changed from a literal body to a spiritual body. And he taught a literal kingdom. And going to heaven came from paganism. Yes, no one's going to heaven. That's a paganistic idea. And there's no soul. No, we have no soul. We have no spirit, as the scriptures teach. The Old Testament holy seasons are to be kept today by the supposed followers of Christ. His was the only church on earth today which understands and is proclaimed God, proclaiming God's message today. So Robert C. Meredith wrote in one of their magazines. And of course, since Armstrong died back in 1986, his organization has split into various groups, and the main body that followed him has split and don't even use the name Church of God Worldwide anymore. And there are different groups in different parts of the country, one in Charlotte, North Carolina, one out in Oklahoma, one in Ohio, and others in other places. Some of them claim to be teaching the same thing that Armstrong taught, and others. Garner Ted, who was expected to succeed his father, was excommunicated while his father was still living, and he started two different churches. The first one he started excommunicated him, and so he started a second one. And now his son is carrying on since Ted died. The next religion I want to mention is Hinduism. Among the many beliefs of this religion is reincarnation as a chain of rebirth in which each soul, through virtuous living, can rise to a higher state. They have names for these different states. Nirvana, the final stage reached upon the emancipation of the soul from the chain of rebirths. They also believe the cow is sacred. From early times, the Hindus revered the cow and considered it a possessor of great power. They have many gods. The Hindus' conception of salvation can be obtained one of three ways: the way of works, the way of knowledge, and the way of devotion. The next is Jainism, and it is a split off from Hinduism and is a religion of legalism. For one to obtain his own salvation only through the path of rigid self-denial. There is no freedom in this religion, only rules that must be obeyed. And then Buddhism. Buddhism began in India about 500 years before the birth of Christ. Buddhism denies the existence of a personal God. Therefore, they do not believe God created the earth. There is no such thing in Buddhism as sin against a supreme being. Shintoism is purely a Japanese religion, the origins of which are buried in antiquity. The Japanese are a people who love their land and believe the islands of Japan were the first divine creation. The Japanese name for their country is Nippon, which means sun origin. Until the end of the World War II, Japanese children were taught at school that the emperors were descendants of the sun goddess. The word Shinto means the way of the gods. Shintoism has various gods, since Shinto teaches the basic goodness and divine origin of its people, there is no need for a savior. This is the natural consequence of assuming one's race is of celestial origin. Now, the ninth one that I want to mention is Islam. And Islam was founded by Muhammad, who was born around 570 A.D., in the city of Mecca in Arabia, present-day Saudi Arabia. Islam is a mixture of different religions. In his early life, Muhammad suffered from fits and thought he might be possessed with an evil spirit. He married at the age of 25 his wife, a wealthy widow, and she was 40. At the age of 40, for Muhammad, at his age of 40, he had his first vision, and his wife convinced him they were visions from God. In addition to the visions, he supposedly began to get messages from God. He later began to present his religion by force. The prophet was subject to ecstatic seizures. The Quran, as we have now in the world, a record of what Muhammad said while in the state of seizures. And to the Muslim, the Quran is the true word of God. They would have you to believe that they believe in the Bible, but it has been so corrupted that you cannot depend upon it, you cannot accept it. Men are required to go to war to spread Islam or defend it against infidels. One who dies in a jihad, which is a holy war, is guaranteed eternal life in paradise. Muslims do not believe Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They do not believe that he was crucified, and they do not believe that he is the Savior of the world. No, they just believe that he was a good prophet. In fact, they do not even teach salvation as we know it. Now, there are various other religions, many of them, hundreds of them in the world that I could mention, and it's not my purpose or my intention of offending anyone by what I am presenting today. I'm dealing with the thought of the difference in religion and true Christianity. True Christianity believes in God, the triune God, and it believes that God, by Christ Jesus, created all things, according to the Apostle John in John 1, also the Apostle Paul in Colossians 3, Colossians 1, Jesus Christ created all things, and he was before all things. And he is the only begotten Son of God, who came into this world to be the Savior, to be the Redeemer. God created man in his own image. So he created Adam and Eve. He formed them pure, clean, and holy. But he gave them a law. He told them that they should not eat of the fruit of the tree that was in the midst of the garden. And he told them if they ate of that fruit, they would surely die. And a tempter came in the garden and tempted Eve, and she yielded to the tempter, and she ate of that forbidden fruit, and she gave to her husband, and he did eat, and both of them died. Now, when I speak of the word death here, I'm not talking about the ceasing of existence. I'm talking about spiritual death. Adam and Eve lived on hundreds of years after they died spiritually. I'm speaking now of separation from God. And that is what spiritual death is, separation from God. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And so they sinned, and they died, and they were separated from God. Now, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Sin is what condemns man, not God. Yes, sin is what condemns you, the transgression of the law of God, the word of God. For sin is the transgression of the law, and the wages of sin is death. But, again, God so loved his creation that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, God was not taken by surprise when Adam and Eve did what they did. He knew before he ever created the world that they would. But don't confuse the thought of the fact that God knew something and God ordained something. God did not ordain Adam and Eve to sin, even though he knew they would. They sinned by choice. God did not ordain it. God did not make them. They sinned, I say, by choice. Let not a man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God tempteth no man. And God is not tempted with evil, and neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own desires, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So the wages of sin is death, and man sins by choice, not by God's ordination. Now, justification is a word that we find in the Scriptures. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Theologically speaking, the word justification simply means that we are pardoned, that we are forgiven. Justification means pardon of all committed sin, peace with God, and remission of penalty. But a sinner needs more than just forgiveness. He needs more than just pardon. Because if he's just forgiven, Tomorrow he may go out and do the same sinful things over. So man needs more than just pardon. He needs more than just forgiveness. And so that brings us to the second part of what we call the common first work of grace, and that is regeneration, or, in other words, being born again. And this is what gives us spiritual life. Just pardon, just forgiveness, justification does not give us spiritual life. But as Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And if you're not born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Paul speaks of regeneration in his letter to the man Titus in the second chapter. So we're not only in the first work of grace, we're not only justified, pardoned, forgiven, but we are regenerated, we are born again, and there is where spiritual life begins again. Notice regeneration. We were generated spiritually as well as physically when we were conceived in our mother's womb, but sin brought death, and therefore the need of regeneration. And notice also, Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You were born spiritually the same moment that you were conceived in your mother's womb. But again, sin brought death. Therefore, you needed to be born again. And that is what happens when a sinner comes with a broken and a contrite heart, repents of his sins, asks God's forgiveness, and believes that God does forgive him. He not only justifies him, but he regenerates him. And this born-again experience is what puts us in God's church. Having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. So the necessity of the new birth lies in the fact of moral depravity. We become immoral, we become sinful, when we knowingly and willingly transgress the word of God, the law of God. Therefore, the necessity of being born again. What is the nature and effect of regeneration? Justification is salvation from the guilt of sin. Regeneration is salvation from the reigning power of sin. And entire sanctification, the second work of grace, as it is commonly called, sanctification is salvation from the indwelling of sin, or the depraved nature, native depravity. I know some people deny that you have that, but nevertheless, the Word of God teaches it, and the reality of life teaches it as well. So justification is salvation from the guilt of sin. Regeneration is salvation from the reigning power of sin. And entire sanctification is salvation from the indwelling of sin. Now, it takes out the heart of stone and gives us a heart of flesh, enabling us to walk in His statutes and keep His judgments and do them according to Ezekiel 36 and 27. Regeneration causes one to love what once he did not love, and to cease to love the sinful things of the world. Yes, Paul said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Regeneration makes you a child of God and a member of the church of God. It gives you an assurance that you are saved. Yes, His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. It is possible to know that we are saved, that we are born again, that we are a child of God, and that we are a part of the family of God. And finally, it puts you in a place where you can now present yourself to God, a living sacrifice, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. It also gives you the assurance of life eternal if you will live the Christian life. So there is a vast difference between the world's religions and true Christianity. And true Christianity is what Jesus Christ gave his blood for, shed his life, and rose, shed his blood and rose again on the third day. He gave himself to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto himself a peculiar people, a separate people, zealous of good works. And whom the Son makes free is free indeed. And he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you do not know the Lord today, could I encourage you to seek him in true godly sorrow and repentance, for he is willing to save you. Jesus died for you. God is willing to forgive you. Heavenly Father, bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that the thoughts that we have brought to you today will be an enlightenment, an encouragement, and a help to you. If so, it would be a blessing to us if you would let us know. Our postal address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. Our fax number is 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You may listen to a number of our broadcasts if you've missed any on our webpage. You may also join us in our services. Our morning worship service on Sunday begins 20 minutes before 11, and our evening service begins at 6, and they are broadcast live over the Internet. www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we invite you to tune in the station next week when, again, the Lord willing, will be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you, is our sincere prayer. Once like a bird in